Foster Campbell is with us, the Public Service Commissioner, elected to that post in 2002. So we're coming up on two decades of Foster Campbell with the PSC, and he also logged 1975 to 2002, almost 27 years in the state legislature. So almost 50 years in public life for this lion from the left who has been following the tragedy of last week, and it is a tragedy, bad in Louisiana, really, really bad, but especially bad in Texas. And Mark Ballard of The Advocate, we'll comment on his column of yesterday about this, but Foster Campbell, it was a week like few others last week. I'm sure that things are still not back to normal. Some are still without power. What are your thoughts about how we responded to this catastrophe?
Well, there was a lot of people working and trying to get people back on. I think they did a good job. I think they could. Some companies probably could spend more money on tree trimming and not worry about the profit they're making for their shareholders. That's what I'm a little troubled by. These guys are making huge profits. They're making close to 10% on rate of return.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to take a short pause for the news, and we will return with Foster Campbell after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Foster Campbell, ranking Democrat on the Public Service Commission, along with Lambert Boissier. There are only five members of the PSC, and it is actually harder to get elected to a PSC position in Louisiana than to Congress. And Mark Ballard, I mentioned his column in yesterday's Advocate, saying Louisiana's PSC has been researching whether to follow Texas' example of deregulating utilities. And Mark starts by saying, like a child yelling, 1, 2, 3, not me, on the playground, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott is blaming bureaucrats and renewable energy for the historic collapse of that state's power supply during last week's unprecedented cold that cost at least 30 Texans their lives. And it wasn't good in Louisiana either. Many people here in Baton Rouge were without power for several days. In Foster Campbell, there's always the story behind the story, and I know you were trying to get to the bottom of this, but we did learn a lesson, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. The governor of Texas forgets to tell the people over there he's got $25 million from campaign contributions.
All right, I think you're on a speakerphone, and we're having difficulty hearing you. If you can get closer to the phone, Foster, that would be helpful. So please continue about your thoughts regarding...
About now.
That's perfect. That's perfect. About Greg Abbott in Texas.
Yeah, I was saying the governor of Texas is talking about it's green power's fault, solar and wind. What he forgets to tell the people over there, or he doesn't want them to know, that he got $25 million in campaign contributions from the oil companies. So, of course, he doesn't like green power. But the truth is they're only responsible about 12%, what I've read, of the power in Texas. And natural gas, which we all like, natural gas is not going anywhere. But they had problems with it freezing up. So the truth is Texas wanted to be independent. They are independent, and they're having to pay the price. They said that utilities would be cheaper if you deregulated it. We don't think so. We think that the best way to operate utilities is with the strong regulation of monopolies. I can tell you this, though. I think a lot of times our Public Service Commission is too friendly toward the companies. You have to watch yourself. They're nice people, and before you know it, they're getting a lot of, I think they're making way too much money, personally, and I want to see the rate of returns dropped on some of these companies. They're making huge amounts of money. I was looking at SWEPCO last year. They made a 12% profit margin. I think that's way too high. Also, CenterPoint made their income grew by 80%. Energy Corporation making 11.5%. Jim, if you go to a bank, they want to give you 0.2% on your money. And here we are with big companies like Energy that has problems down there making 11% or 10%. That's way too much. We ought to reduce the rate of return these guys are charging and reduce and apply that to the rates. Now, people are going to say, well, you can't do that. Of course you can do it if you have three people on the Public Service Commission that tell them to do it. All you need is three. So all you need is two, because I'm telling you right now, I'm for reducing the amount of profit these companies make. So we need two other people, and I think Mr. Bossier would be along with me, and I'd be along with him. So you got Mr. Green or Mr. Scametta or the other commissioner over there in Lake Charles.
Mr. Francis, right?
Mr. Francis, you get one of them, we're going to reduce some rates. I'm ready to do it. I think making that kind of profit is obscene. They're borrowing money at the cheapest they've ever been able to borrow money. Bond rates are nothing. Houses are financing for 2%. Municipal bonds are at 2% as far out as 30 years. And we got companies making 10%? That's crazy.
Paul in Opelousas. Paul, you're on with Foster Campbell.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. Good morning, Mr. Campbell. Everybody listen to the internet. I'm on the phone right now in a truck. Will the internet services be regulated, and can cities pay their own signal and distribution services?
All right. I'm having some difficulty understanding you, Paul. Could you state that again, please?
Yeah. Would the state support, as far as Public Service Commission support, local cities and municipalities developing their own internet distribution?
All right. What about local municipalities developing their own internet distribution? That's what Paul is suggesting. Is that something you've looked at?
Internet phone service, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Internet, they have in Lafayette. They did in Lafayette. There's something that you could look at. So Lafayette has their own distribution system, so I appreciate it.
All right. Phil and Jefferson.
I can tell you one thing. Go ahead.
Well,
I'm Phil, sorry.
Phil's, but we've got several folks waiting for you. So Phil and Jefferson Terrace. Phil, please be brief. You're on with Foster Campbell.
Yes, sir. Hello. And Mr. Campbell, thank you for the work you do for us.
All right. What's your question?
I understand that they're subsidizing homeowners in Germany and Berlin and the cities to become their own power generators. So you store your, you become your own power station, and that's where the world is going, and we need to head that way, too. Thanks.
All right. Any thoughts about that?
Well, we've done a lot of that in Jefferson Parish and all over the state with solar energy, working with the companies, you're creating solar power that you can use in your homes. So maybe that's what he's talking about. I'm not familiar with what's going on in Germany and other places like that. All I know is basically we have a Public Service Commission that's in the Constitution. It basically says that the Public Service Commission shall regulate all public utilities, which are these monopolies. And we should regulate them, and we should ask the tough questions. And if we don't watch it, they rock us to sleep up there, and they wind up making 10% rate of return when the price of money is almost nothing. So I've sort of made it a New Year's resolution. Every time I get a chance to talk to them about it or say something, I'm reducing the rate of return these companies are making. They're making a lot of money, and they like to make it because that makes their stockholders happy and makes the stock go up. But what's not happy are the people paying the bills. But for us, the service in Louisiana, I think the investor-owned companies and the co-ops are trying their best to do a good job. But a lot of times, if you let these companies make more money, if we don't watch it, they'll be sending it to the to the stockholders instead of the ratepayers, and they won't be doing as good a job as tree trimming and things like that. That is directly responsible for outages of electricity. If you don't trim the trees, and it costs money to trim the trees, if you don't trim the trees, you're going to have power outages, especially when you have terrible weather like we've had the last week in Louisiana.
877-217-5757 is your number for Foster Campbell and Mark Ballard, the column I mentioned in yesterday's Advocate. Mark is with us on most Thursdays, says that only 3% of the electricity made in Louisiana is from renewable sources. Should that number go up?
You're asking me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It should go up. That is the future. renewable energy is clean, it's going to be cheaper, and we should let that go up. It's not some people in the oil companies, they're worried about it because they think that we'll stop using natural gas. That's not true. We will use natural gas. Like I say, I live in the middle of the Haynesville Shale, and they're leasing land up here every day and drilling new wells. So, I mean, the oil companies are not going to go broke, and we need renewable energy in Louisiana. We just bought some from Kansas and Oklahoma for the Shreveport area. We got a good deal on it, a good price on it. It's clean, and it's the future. So we can't put our head in the sand and say, oh, no, we're going to kill the oil industry if we bring in solar, if we bring in wind power. We're going to bring it in, and we ought to welcome it because it's the future.
Last week, did you monitor this catastrophe from your perch in Bossier City, or did you go to Cancun?
I went to Elm Grove, and I fed cows every day in the mud knee-deep trying to get them fed. And we were working every day on the farm and everywhere else, answering phone calls and checking on people to make sure that their electricity was on. One day we had 72 calls one day. So we were talking to these people and talking to the companies and try to coordinate the outages through us, and we helped a lot of people get the electricity back on.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Foster Campbell.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Foster, some time ago, a Republican member of the Public Service Commission, Eric Scametta, voted against net metering. What is your position on net metering? And, again, he's a Republican Trump lover. Do you think that's nothing more than a support of the fossil fuel industry, which is going to destroy Louisiana one day if we keep producing the energy and burning the energy that we're burning now?
I don't know what makes him do what he does. He votes completely different than I do on most things. I can't answer why he does that. But he has been a real opponent of solar energy in the past. Hopefully he'll change his mind. I've been out front on it. I'm for it 1,000%. And we need solar energy. And I'm not worried about these companies that say, no, it's going to hurt them. What these companies are doing, if you watch this, this is real clear. They're not for paying the homeowners much for the solar energy they generate. They want to make sure they're doing now to avoid a cost, which is wholesale. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they kill that industry, then they start building these big plants themselves. These companies are going to build solar plants, but they want to build them themselves. They're not interested in the mom and pop or the consumers putting it on the rooftop. They're not so much for that, but they are for building these plants and putting it in your rate base.
877-217-5757. Thank you, David, in Atlanta, and thank you, Foster Campbell, who will be with us for another segment as we head down the home stretch, and we have some folks who want to get his take on what's happening in Washington as well, with our two U.S. senators splitting on the impeachment vote. But Foster Campbell is right now surveying the wreckage from last week. Louisiana took a hard blast, but Texas got even a harder hit, and we'll talk more when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and Foster Campbell is with us, the man who's been in public life in Louisiana for nearly 50 years. Patrick in Ensuald Estates. Patrick, you're on the air with Commissioner Campbell. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, how y'all doing? Foster Campbell, I don't think people have necessarily a problem with solar energy. They just don't want taxpayers subsidizing someone's solar panels. And then I guess I want to get your thoughts on Biden shutting down the pipeline. I know it. What do you think about that? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. You want to talk about how much subsidies they subsidize the oil companies? Do you realize that this is a quote from Forbes magazine, that the oil company subsidy is larger than the entire military budget of the United States of America, more than we spend on education? So when you talk about subsidies, don't just talk about subsidies for solar. Talk about the subsidies we've done for years and years and years with the oil companies. That's who's squealing like a pig under a gate. They don't want to get rid of the subsidies. But they don't tell you the billions of dollars that we've given them, and they don't want any competition. But on the other hand, they want to sit on the front row of the Chamber of Commerce and talk about the free enterprise. You can't have it both ways. We need solar energy, we need wind power, and there's room for natural gas in the near future and the long-term future. So that's a fact about that.
What about the Keystone Pipeline?
Well, Keystone Pipeline, the price of oil's gone up. The price of oil's gone up since they stopped the Keystone Pipeline. A lot of people are wondering why we worried about the Keystone Pipeline when we produce a lot of oil in the United States we'd like to sell. Why are we bringing oil in from Canada that has environmental problems? Why are we so worried about that at a time when we have a lot of oil that we can produce in the United States? So,
all right, Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Foster. Hi, Dan downtown.
Hi, yeah. Are the utility companies as generous with your colleagues on the PSC as they are with the governor of Texas?
All right. What about the utility companies? I think he's talking about campaign contributions.
Yeah, yeah, they help. They sure do. But, you know, you have to it wasn't a utility company in Texas I was talking about. It was the oil companies that put out $25 million. But I guess you could call them utility companies if you wanted to say that. Yeah, they contribute to people. They've contributed to my campaign, but I guess you can tell by the way I speak. I don't think you think I'm in their back pocket.
All right. Jim and Walker. Jim, you're on with Foster Campbell. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen. Seeing as how internet service in our areas is a state monopoly, why isn't internet service regulated as a public utility? Because it absolutely is. It's when we had hurricanes, we've had our local, I'm out in Walker, the police department had no phone because they were going through voice over IP for their phone. So this is a public utility, huh?
All right. Thank you, Jim. Foster?
I think you're 100% right, and I think the legislature ought to enact a law to put them under the Public Service Commission. They've tried that before. They might think it's unconstitutional. I've heard that word till I'm sick about unconstitutional, some form of a law that's passed. You know what you do if something's unconstitutional. You go to court and let the court decide if it's constitutional and quit worrying about the special interest telling you, oh, that's unconstitutional. We don't know if it's unconstitutional or not. I think you got a great idea. I think the Public Service Commission ought to regulate the internet.
All right. Steve Winham in St. Francisville asks, why is AT&T not subject to PSC regulation?
Well, they are. They are. AT&T is subject to some of the of their procedures of the Public Service Commission.
All right. Lewis
Landlines.
Lewis Russell says, why is the public having to pay higher utility bills, higher utility bills after a severe weather event, given the enormous profits that you say these companies are making?
Well, first of all, speaking about natural gas, you use more of it, and electricity. It costs more to heat a house than it does cool a house. So I'm sure you're going to see some high bills, and I want to say this, and I'm glad he brought that up. They're going to see some extremely high bills after this cold snap. And I want you to know that I'll do everything I can to make sure that if you have a high bill and it's hard for you to pay, that we'll make these companies stretch it out for you. We're not going to cut you off if it's cold weather. We're not going to cut you off. I passed the rule that you couldn't cut you off when the temperature is under 32%. So I hear what you're saying. The bills are high. Some of the reason they're high is because people are using more natural gas, and some people are using a lot more electricity if your house is all electric.
All right. Chris and Gonzalez, on a different topic, ask Foster Campbell your thoughts about the legacy of one Rush Hudson Limbaugh III. I suspect you are an avid listener, Foster Campbell.
No, I didn't listen to him too much. You know, a lot of people did, and he's dead, so I don't want to talk about dead people. But I didn't think a whole lot of him, but a lot of people did. And I'm sure he had a lot of good things to say. I didn't listen to him, though, so I really couldn't be a judge about Rush Limbaugh.
Okay, well, Rush, of course, was on the Trump train, and Donald John Trump carried Louisiana. I was looking yesterday. He actually won by more votes in 2020 than he did in 2016 in Louisiana, 399,742 last year compared to 398,484 in 2016 over Hillary Clinton. So two landslides in Louisiana for Donald Trump. And little wonder that a Republican U.S. senator who's up for re-election next year, like John Kennedy, would vote to acquit the president. And then we've got Bill Cassidy, who voted to convict. Your thoughts about that?
Well, first of all, Kennedy is a politician from A to Z. Whichever the wind's blowing, that's where he's going to vote. So nobody's surprised about John Kennedy. I'm surprised about Cassidy. I think he did the right thing. But there's an old saying, there's no wrong way to do the right thing. He did the right thing, so that's good. He did the right thing. He just got reelected now. You remember, he's got 6 years to get over that vote, which they will. But Mr. Kennedy, you couldn't shake him with dynamite right now because he'd rather be in the United States Senate than doing the right thing. And that's harsh words from me, but that's the way I feel.
Last time you were on this show, my friend Bridger Eglin said he almost drove off the road. He got so so caught up in the laughter when he said you said John Kennedy was auditioning for Hee Haw.
Well, I hadn't heard him lately. He sort of cut out all that.
I wonder why he's so Beverly quiet Hill. These days. It's amazing.
It is amazing, and then he's up under the house. You couldn't find John Kennedy with a flashlight now.
And Bill Cassidy is everywhere. He is everywhere.
Yeah.
But Kennedy is up for re-election next year. You ran against him in 2016 and lost. But we saw two.
Let me say something. I didn't lose to John Kennedy. I lost to Trump. We were in the margin of error in that race until Trump came to Baton Rouge and Pence. And then it was good night, Irene. Trump carried Louisiana, and Kennedy was on his ticket, and he won. He won. But I tell you one thing. When I lost, I didn't go around crying and whining like Trump. I mean, I took it and went on. Now you got Trump. It's been beat for, what, a month or 2 months, and he can't quit whining, and all of his supporters are whining and saying the election was a fraud. When they can't prove it, they've gone to all these courts, and they say there was no sign of fraud. But I can't understand a politician. This really bothers me. When a politician gets in a race, you either win or lose. And it's an old saying, and I don't mean this to sound chauvinistic, but take it like a man or take it like a woman. If you lose, lose with some respect and dignity and shake the other guy's hand. If you can prove that he stole the race, well, that's one thing. But don't come up with just excuse after excuse and get your people to raid the Capitol when people get killed. What kind of leader is that?
All right, Henry at the Country Club, we want to get you in before we part company with Foster Campbell. Hi, Henry.
Hi, Mr. Jim. Hi, Commissioner Foster. I hope y'all are having a great day. I got one question for you, and Mr. Jim doesn't want to say anything bad about anybody, but tell us how it is. If you think back in ancient history, when Kennedy has been on Mr. Jim's show, he won't take any calls. What's his problem?
What, Kennedy?
Yeah.
Well, he would take calls back in the day. We never shied away from any calls for John Kennedy, but he hasn't been back in the day. He would ask to come on this show, and I always said yes, but he hasn't been asking much lately, Foster Campbell. When we see and hear John Kennedy these days, it's usually in places like Hannity and on other Fox shows. He has now found a second home at Fox News.
Yeah, he's comfortable over there, and I can understand that, but you ought to be versified. You ought to go on everybody and tell people exactly what you think. I mean, before we changed the subject there, let me just say this. For people who really support Trump, I understand that, and I respect that. But if Trump would had any leadership ability at all, when the people stormed the Capitol, he would have gone down there and got in front of them, held up his hand, and said, "This is, we can't do this." That's what real leaders do. You don't sit back when your chief of staff and everybody's telling you to stop them, stop them, stop them, and you let them go ahead when you know there's damage being done. That's the most non-leadership I've ever heard of in my life. Nobody's ever seen a leader that just reneged to do the right thing when people are getting hurt, killed, and they're storming the Capitol.
Foster Campbell, we do have to part, but it's always a pleasure. We'll be calling again soon for signature supporters from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan. Stay safe.